Welcome to the Glasgow Short Film Festival 2021 podcast. I'm Sana Yahul, the festival's co-director, and on behalf of our entire team, thank you for listening. Named in honour of one of Scotland's greatest filmmakers, the Bill Douglas Award for International Short Film was inaugurated at GSFF in 2012 by Bill's lifelong friend and collaborator, Peter Jewell. Each year, a jury of filmmakers and film curators chooses a film from our international selection that best reflects the qualities found in the work of Bill Douglas: honesty, formal innovation, and the supremacy of image and sound in cinematic storytelling. To celebrate the award's 10th anniversary this year, we checked in with all previous winners. In this episode, we present a conversation between Brazilian filmmaker Leonardo Secchi, who won the 2013 Bill Douglas Award with his and Isabel Pinoni's film Enraged Pigs, and one of that year's jury members, award-winning Danish-French director and writer Caroline Sacha Cogez. In Enraged Pigs, we find ourselves amongst a group of women who find out that their husbands have been mysteriously transformed into pigs, and so they have to decide what action to take. You can watch Enraged Pigs on our screening platform during the entire festival week, along with all other previous Bill Douglas Award winners. And now, enjoy the episode, and hopefully see you online at GSFF 21.
Thank you for tuning in. My name is Carolina Sacha Cogez. I had this wonderful chance to be in the jury in 2013 at the Glasgow Short Film Festival, where we awarded the Bill Douglas Award to this wonderful short film called Enraged Pigs, and it's directed by Leonardo Secchi and Isabel Pinoni. And directly from Brazil, I'm in Copenhagen, and I'm talking to Leonardo Secchi.
Hello, Caroline. Yes, I'm here. I'm here in Brazil, in Recife, on the northeast of Brazil.
It was such a delight for me to see see Enraged Pigs again. I've seen it three times since I got access to it, and I'm so happy that it won that year, and I found that it was very courageous and progressive of Matt Lloyd, the festival director, also to let us award you the prize. And I'll get back to that later, because I remember that when the film was shown and announced as a winner, some people were upset, but I'll get back to that, which is for me a sign of that it was even a better choice. But could you give a short summary of what the film is about and what we experience?
The film is 10 minutes long, and I did the cinematography. I had two cameras. It was based by a work that was being done by Isabel Pinoni, who is my co-director in this film. I was working on another film, a feature film, called The Hyper Women, which has most of the women that we see in Enraged Pigs are on this film that I'm mentioning now as well. But it was a different approach. It was more a documentary approach. And I met Isabel, and she was doing a work. She's an anthropologist, and I am not. I'm a filmmaker. And but she's also a person who works with theater in communities I mean, on favelas and or in on the Amazon. So she was doing this amazing work rehearsing one of the myths, for the most important myths that these women, I mean, the Kikuyu people, one of the most important myths for them. And to make it very short, it's a kind of a revenge of the women on the man. They start singing. They love singing, the men, the women, and they start singing that the men are lazy and the men are. It's a patriarchal society there as well. If you understand what I mean.
If I could just say, so the summary, just to set the scene, if someone hasn't seen the short film but are listening to the podcast, it's a 10-minute short. Most of the film takes place inside this tent, or what is it? Not, it's not t- hut. Is it called a hut? Or
We call it a house, but it's made out of a straw.
Yeah, and very beautiful. Half of it is open to the sky, and half of it is closed. That's how it looks to me.
Yes, because it was under construction.
Okay, I read some symbolism into that, but there you go.
Yes, and also it was perfect for the lighting.
Yeah. And then we see this play, or this myth being played out by the women of the village.
Yes.
Right. This is just sort of the frame of your film. And you went into it, but I suggest to talk about the form of the film. Do you call it a short documentary, or is it fiction?
I call it fiction. Yes, because it's rehearsed. It's really played. As I was saying, it was based on a play. Isabel was working with them, and their final work was a play. And they were staged in front of the whole community in the center of the village. And they did that. And Isabel asked me if I could film it. I did, but I did with, when you film theater, it's very boring. The women were kind of shy or intimidated by the men mocking them. So they didn't want to go full naked, although they do walk around the village naked, and they go and they have bath on this beautiful lagoon naked. And their performances was not as good as what it doesn't even get close to what we see on the film. They were intimidating, and it was a beautiful thing to see anyway. On the rehearsals that I saw, I could see the intensity of the acting, and that didn't appear when they staged the play. So I said to Isabel, well, I did film it, it's here, but I really would love to propose to you that we make a film. And she said, well, I would love to do that. I mean, I'm glad you're proposing. And then the women as well, they were very happy to do that as well.
So why did you choose not to subtitle it all? I was wondering about that, being a foreigner to the language that they're speaking. The songs, and I mean, there's a few lines being subtitled.
That was a decision made, obviously, on the editing. We did subtitle everything. I did. I'm the editor of the film. But then again, I thought that not subtitling everything would make it more powerful somehow and more mysterious. And then you could look at the faces and their expressions. They are so strong and so beautiful. It's that simple. I hope it worked the way I intended. On these lines that we didn't subtitle, they are basically offending the male sexual organ. They use this object, this fruit, that looks like a penis, and they do this movement of the ejaculation, and I thought that was enough for the viewer to get the what they were doing, and subtitling that was making it too obvious.
Could you want to say something about the narrative and the structure of the story?
Isabel, I mean, I have to say, is my co-director. I mean, all credit to her and the work she did, and the women as well, the actresses. We started everything from one of the women telling the story. And Isabel started to work on the acting from that recording. It is different. It's not like the Western narrative, and it has its own form, and it's a bit mysterious. I was trying to portray the story, but not only the story, but with a form, a cinematic form, that would also be loyal to what I heard and to how they told that story.
No, but the poetry in the way it's edited and the way of using the cinematic language in this otherwise sort of more ethnographic way of observing those, I think that contrast is fantastic. You said a little bit about it in the beginning, and I'm sorry if I interrupted you there, but why this specific indigenous tribe?
Well, as I was saying, I started to work on this project, which is called Video nas Aldeias, which means video in the villages, that aims on supporting indigenous media. 10 years earlier than shooting Enraged Pigs, I've been to that tribe. I've been there for 3 weeks as a teacher. They invited us as a cinema, as a video teacher. I would teach them how to use a camera, and then we went back there two more other times. In the 2 years later, in 3 years later, we made short films out of these workshops. And they were made by them as authors. And they're quite good, in my opinion. They were awarded prizes. But what happened is they went on, especially one of them, Takuma, who is today one of the most important native filmmakers in Brazil. I mean, he was my student 10 years earlier than Enraged Pigs. And then they kept going and making their films and buying equipment with NGOs that support the environment and their fight. And so when I was there in 2012 to shoot Enraged Pigs, there was a relation of 10 years relation. I mean, the younger girl that you see in the film, I mean, I don't think
in the beginning.
Yes, the little one. I think she was a baby when I first went there, and there was no mystery. We were friends, and I really, really didn't want to do anthropology or ethnography. I mean, nothing against those, but that was not my area. I wanted to make a film, period. I mean, a film that could be, a film, not an ethnography.
But do you think that your 10-year relationship with this tribe also and these people also made it possible for you to do this film with the confidence and with the way that they also let themselves go in front of the camera and the power that they have?
Definitely, because when you see the film, they look straight into the lens and they attack with their weapons. They attack the lens. I mean, they knew me. They saw me naked in the lagoon. They knew about my family. I mean, we were friends from 10 years and working partners. I am sure, actually, that the strength of the acting towards the lens is due to this 10-year relationship, yes. Because I wasn't just a guy who got there. I was Leonardo, yeah.
When was this story being delivered? What time of year? Was there any sort of, specific sermon where this story was being told?
It's a myth, so there's no date. There's no specific date precisely. It's a myth like our myths. It tells this story when the women they want to sing, and they sing mocking the men, and the men go out to fish for 2 days and they don't come back. I don't know if I should tell, reveal the story.
Yes, I think that I was trying to get you to do that in the beginning, actually, because I think I would love you to hear you tell the story as...
All right. So the men, they don't go, they don't come back. Like they are a bit irritated by the mocking of the women. And then one of the women says to her young son, mm-hmm. go there, find what's going on, why they didn't come back. And then he comes back, I mean, extremely frightened. I mean, I don't know, I should have a better adjective, but he's terrified. He comes back running and he tells the women that the men are transforming into monsters. And then they are coming to kill them all, eat them all. So then they start, what do we do? And they start to react. You don't get all these details on this film, but they get ants to bite their clitoris. And everything, they come bigger and they swallow. That you see on the film. They use plants. This leaves of a special plant and uh-huh. and they bath with it, and that gives them a crazy, that's the word they use, a craziness, and then they become what I mean, we came out with this translation, I mean the hyper women, they become more than women, they become super women, more than woman. And they are ready to for the men to arrive and attack. The story is enormous. It's very long. Our film just tells a little part of it. But they then transform the boy, the son who went to see the man. Mm. They transform him in the armadillo, the animal.
So they transform the boy into an armadillo and.
Exactly. So, and they make a line, mm-hmm. and the armadillo goes digging holes, and the women go through these holes underneath the earth, and he comes up and down, and they go, and then he makes another hole, and then they find another animal, a mammal, that they actually eat it. That you can see in the film, but we don't explain what it is.
No.
You see this woman crawling on four with her hands on the floor, crawling and making a strange thing with the fruit. That was the tapir, and they actually talked to the tapir. What should we do? The men are coming behind us to kill us and everything. We don't put that on the film. It's but we put all the dancing, the line with the armadillo leading the line. And the dancing that they do, escaping the men and also celebrating what they wanted to do in the first place, which was to sing freely without the control of the man.
Just since you made it, I mean, it's been 10, 12 years that just the nakedness has now become so much more problematic because of social media and the way it's being abused and how the modern world is sort of eating up also that, even that aspect of being indigenous, what you wear and don't wear. Do you want to say anything about what you're working on now?
Well, I'm working on a few projects. Mm-hmm. The principal one, the main one is my first feature fiction film, and the story goes around people, non-indigenous people, public workers who protect an isolated area in the Amazon where there are still isolated groups that had never had contact with Western society. So their work is to keep themselves that way. It's a very interesting and it's very philosophical to me, because they have to protect the area, but they cannot meet the people they protect. It's not supposed to. It's the policy, the actual policy in Brazil which is a bit menaced now with this horrible president that we have. But the official policy is still to leave them as they are. So you protect an area, a huge area of wild Amazon forest where there are people living, living, as they were before the Portuguese arrived in America, and do not contact them yourselves. So it's a very difficult work and delicate work and noble work, and but it's menaced, and the menaces are from various types. I mean, there are many missionaries, most of them from America, from the United States, that are, I mean, they are obsessed with contacting these people to make them read the Bible and everything, and that's horrible. And but also there are farmers, there are pipelines, and very many menaces, dangers to these people that are mysterious. There are only a few images from them made. The BBC made a series of with very long focus lenses, and they cut some images from some of these people, but they are actually very isolated. The anthropologues, the ethnographs don't know the language they speak, which tribe they are related. So my film, to come back to my film, the characters, it's a fiction, the main characters are these workers, and they have to deal with defunding from the government. I mean, they work by ideology more or less, and the farmers are threatening their lives, and that's how the film starts. My second script, the one I think will be produced after this one that I was talking about, that has nothing to do with the Amazon or indigenous people. It's based on the national disaster, which was the loss of the Brazilian football team to France in the final. It's a bit of a comedy, a black comedy, and I'm very interested and excited to do that, because it's a different thing for me.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Before we finish, a few shout-outs. Glasgow Short Film Festival is made possible thanks to the generous support of Screen Scotland and Film Hub Scotland. This podcast was produced for us by Helena Rifai, with music by Lewis den Hertog. We'd love to hear your responses to this episode and our festival programme, so get in touch. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @GlasgowShort. Enjoy the festival.